sun comes out to shine eternal. I hope the best, but here comes the colonel.
Ah, yes, there's always going to be a comedian in every bunch, especially when Comedy Central rehearsals are just down the hall and they sneak in here and disrupt a serious science program. All right, welcome back to the second half of The Promise of Tomorrow. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. We're going to get back to our interview in just a minute with Desi Patel Anderson, Miss Desiree Patel Anderson. She's the Chief Innovation Advisor at FEMA. That's a new position, as a matter of fact. She can tell us about that. She's also the Think Tank Strategic Vision Coordinator. Lots of exciting things, major changes going on at FEMA. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments are the voice of reason. And then I'm going to want to tell you about a new major energy conference in light of all the moves that the president has been making with the EPA. You may have some solutions on energy solutions, and I hope that you'll stick around and listen to this because you may want to submit those to the energy conference. Right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have on the set, rummage around in the coin jar a little bit here, and ask today's query.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Okay, we've aroused the spirit of the fountain. We're throwing in a few coins. I've got an easy one for you, well, spirit of the fountain this time. In fact, they're going to make fun of me because this is far too easy. What rubber toughening process was named for the Roman god of fire? Oh, spirit of the fountain? Rubber toughening process. Named for the Roman god of fire. What's it called?
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell the others.
I knew it was too easy. You got this one right away. The rubber toughening process, named for the Roman god of fire, named after the god Vulcan. It's called vulcanization, of course. All right, back to our exciting guest today, Desi. Okay, the Science News Studio Band taking us back to our interview with the very enlightening Desiree Patel Anderson, the Chief Innovation Advisor at FEMA. Tell us a little bit about what the Chief Innovation Advisor for FEMA does, and then I want to get into that think tank strategic vision coordinator.
Sure. So just a quick role play of the two. They're actually kind of one and the same. I started out as the FEMA Think Tank Strategic Coordinator, which was a very strategically appointed title to give us an opportunity to reach across the agency and the different silos and work with communities and not necessarily put us into any sort of hierarchical order. So that was really, that role was to run the think tank, which is our national call at FEMA. We have a Deputy Administrator Serino who runs the call, and we catalyze community members along with a specific topical area to talk about what's going on sort of fresh and cutting edge. And we typically hold these calls every couple of months. Our most recent one was at the White House this past February. We will also be hosting one in New York City next week with our friends from UNICEF. Once we had Sandy hit, that role changed, and I then took on the title of Chief Innovation Advisor at FEMA, which we have not had before, but it's a wonderful role that allows me to work with communities, the whole community, so I believe to be the subject matter experts outside of the agency, as well as the folks inside the agency who are doing really, really cool things, and help them to cultivate a culture of innovation, but also to make sure that we get the projects and the innovations that are going on up and running for disaster response and recovery.
Well, innovation, I think, is something that a lot of people were really looking to have happen at FEMA in trying to live down the reputation that FEMA got with what went on with Hurricane Katrina. Have you found it difficult after Katrina? Incidentally, were you with FEMA during Katrina? And have you found it difficult after Katrina to get the respect back for FEMA that it was so tarnished during the Katrina debacle?
Well, actually, in fact, it's been really, really great. FEMA's really embraced the idea of being very forward-leaning. In fact, the imperatives that are coming out for 2015 to 2019 are incorporating our HOLA community, which is all of our folks in the great nation, whether they're within the agency or outside, that are doing great things. But the second imperative for the agency that we hold is how to learn and innovate as an organization. And Colonel, just to understand how important this is, there are only two imperatives that are being held up at the agency for 2015 to 2019. There's a bunch of strategic goals, but those are the two overarching pieces that we are supposed to use as our Northern Star.
And you're going to tell me specifically more about that, right? What are the two?
Absolutely. The two imperatives are incorporating the HOLA community, so our HOLA community partners are in and working with us, and the second one is learning and innovating as an organization. So back to your question, which is specifically asking, what are we doing to be forward-leaning as an agency? Well, if you have those imperatives in place, and those are your guiding, your North Star, that's going to allow you to go a lot further and be able to do some things that maybe in the past you weren't able to do. And this agency, it speaks volumes because internally we're doing some great stuff, whether it be geospatial with the Civil Air Patrol and their aerial imagery, to folks setting up mesh networks in Red Hook and Staten Island, even to having designers lay out physical floor plans and layouts for our disaster recovery centers. That's just examples of how this agency has really embraced innovation. We're actually changing the way we do business for disaster survivors with, again, as the administrator as well as the deputy administrator say, with a survivor-centric focus. So I will give you an instance, Colonel, but there's so very many. One of the things we have right now that I kind of tangentially mentioned was the recovery group at FEMA has been really on the cutting edge of moving some great innovations forward. They worked with a couple of design firms, one in particular in New York City, who were able to give some opportunities to look at how we physically flow disaster survivors through our disaster recovery centers. And if you don't know what a disaster recovery center, it's a place where a location where folks can get resources they need. So being able to register folks faster and give them a more customer-friendly experience is exactly what we need to be doing, and recovery is on the cutting edge of applying those design principles to that. Another really quick one that they've been working on, they deserve a lot of credit for, is the whole idea of coming to the disaster survivor rather than us having them come to the centers. So they actually were handing out and disseminating iPads and tablets out into the communities with FEMA Corps members to register disaster survivors right at their doorsteps. Now, how cool is that to be able to innovate there in a disaster? And from that, we've continued to use some of these techniques in subsequent disasters.
That's really incredible. Now, people aren't just sitting silently wishing that they had some help, but they actually are going to see people come into their neighborhoods and talk to them personally and say, look, these are the kind of things we can do for you. So if they can't get transportation down to the center, or they can't find the time, or they're too busy or too depressed, might be another good word, you and your team are out there taking the relief right to the people. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, and it's a combination or a partnership between FEMA and FEMA Corps. And the great thing about this, and for folks who don't know, FEMA Corps are members from about the ages of 18 to 24 who go in to serve the nation and assist in disaster response and recovery. They do great things. They're very energetic, and we love working with them. So these folks, these FEMA Corps members, were a part of the pilot, and they continue to be a part of the operations today with recovery at FEMA to, again, to reach the disaster survivor wherever they may be.
Now, are we saying that with these methods in place that the problems that we experienced with Katrina may never have to face those same types of problems again?
I don't know the answer to that, Colonel. I know that I have an innovation focus, and so I tend to come from a more optimistic perspective. But I can tell you that if we stick to the imperative of incorporating our whole of community partners, it's a we, and it's not an us versus them. So if we can work with our communities who are way cutting edge in current, and I would even beg to say cool, then that by association and partnering with them, we can also join and be a part of that. So we can actually respond and recover together. So that's my answer.
All right. Well, you're working pretty closely with Willow Brew of the MIT Media Lab. Matter of fact, I understand both you and Willow are going to be making presentations at the Global Humanitarian Technology Conference October 20th through the 23rd in San Jose, California. And kind of give us first of all, you know, what are some of the things that you're doing with Willow?
Absolutely. I'm very excited to be co-presenting with Willow. And interestingly enough, although I don't share the electric blue hair, although I'm very envious of it, we have a lot in common. In fact, both of us were deployed on this innovation team at FEMA during Hurricane Sandy. So we continue to work on a lot of the projects and innovations that we had deployed out and had actually spun up during response and recovery. And from that, as you might know, Willow's over at MIT Media Lab. We continue to have conversations about how we're going to work in another big catastrophic disaster where novelty's involved. And she's been great assistance with being a catalyst and connecting the dots and connecting us with whole of community partners. And she's also been a visionary with helping on a lot of the pieces, including threading through social media and getting us on top of the current edge with some of the technologies out there. So we continue to work really closely together. In fact, I just missed her because she flew out to New York and I ended up in Boston to go teach a course at Harvard. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what we can do together. And it really, again, goes back to what we need to be doing as an agency to work with our external partners.
Yeah, Willow spends a lot of time traveling. We had difficulty getting her on the program, as a matter of fact. We were so glad to have her. But she seems sort of like almost anti-your government, because you're FEMA, but she's almost like anti-government because she believes in flattened organizations. She thinks it ought to be a consensual hierarchy right there at the very bottom where the people are suffering and they themselves are the ones that have to be told how to help themselves. Is it a chore trying to work with the things that that Willow is trying to accomplish there on the ground floor, and what you need to do as far as being a government agency and the certain constraints and guidelines that you have to put up with?
It's music to my ears, Colonel. We work really, really hard. Before I came to FEMA, I came from a local community, and I fully believe and embrace the idea of lateralized, democratized structures, where we almost like what you see in an organizational structure like Facebook, where folks are like social nodes working together as a network and very, very pliable. If you analogize that to how social media has given people a voice amplifier, anybody a voice, so that folks can rise up and give great points from literally any place, anywhere, that's exactly what we're seeing with a lot of things, and particularly in the innovation sector. So it's been really cool and really interesting to keep people who are champions of lateralizing things and democratizing structures, to bring them into the fold, into the mix, to help me also champion and lead that effort within and to cultivate a culture of innovation within an agency.
I really have to ask this question, though, since you're doing the comparison with social media. We know that social media has become somewhat dangerous. In fact, is just recently, big news was that LinkedIn was compromised with all their email addresses, or their passwords were stolen, and some of us, including me, had to get off of LinkedIn because our stuff was being abused. If you're working at the ground floor, doesn't it lead a lot of opportunity for infiltration from, let's say, nefarious groups that might want to infiltrate and pretend that they're helping, or maybe poison the well or a little bit of something from some backwater infiltrators and terrorists, that sort of thing? Doesn't it lead itself really open to that?
So I think there's risk with anything, but I had that same question posed when we had a conversation with the United Nations just a couple of weeks ago. They were really, they are great supporters and really like the idea of looking to cultivate innovation. So we've been working closely together, but they asked that same question, and here's my answer. We're moving towards an open source kind of culture. We have to be very adaptable and flexible and critically analyze our situations as constituents, as agency members, as folks in their own daily lives. We have to be able to do that, and it's on our responsibility and ownership to understand what we're willing to take as risks and liabilities and what's important to move forward. And I would say, Colonel, the best thing we can do is we need to make moves to move with society and to with the culture. And if the culture is going towards a more lateralized, open structure, open source, we need to embrace that and find ways to work. And a great example of embracing that, although it is not social media, but the whole idea of open source communication and the vulnerabilities is, our open FEMA department here at FEMA has actually opened up raw data streams from disaster history, a history layout of disasters, so that anyone in the public can go out and go onto the Open FEMA website and take a look at what we've set out for disasters. Now, it doesn't include privacy information, and it's been vetted through the attorneys, and it's been protected in a lot of ways. But the one thing we hear a lot at FEMA is free the data. And this is a great opportunity to show how an agency is moving forward by allowing for this open source for folks to take a look and make their own analysis on what's going on in past disasters. How cool and forward-leaning is that?
Well, now, are you saying then that this open source is available to anybody who wants to Google FEMA and they can get the open source and see all the stuff that's going on? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And it's run by Open FEMA, which is actually under the Open Government Directive that Obama set about transparency and accountability. And this really, really, really goes back to the transparency principle. I think the takeaway that we would like is we want to learn from you. We're embracing innovation. We're embracing forward-leaning thinking and open-source communication as well as data streams. We want to be a part of what you're doing, and we want you to be a part of what we're doing on the innovation front at FEMA. So if there's one takeaway that we can provide, and I hope Willow can also show it from a different perspective, is we're all together in this. It's a whole community concept. When disaster strikes, it affects us all. So let's work together to take these forward-leaning approaches and these innovations and get them out and cultivate that in communities. And let's do it as one, as we together.
All right, Desi, I want you to kind of put on the meditation cap here for just a minute. Give us a look into the future. Where do you see the society going and how these relief efforts fit in?
I think we see society going towards a model of being able to be the champions for their communities to make them resilient. And I see the agencies supporting that effort. So that means that you and I and everyone else in our communities working together to do forward-leaning approaches and to be innovative and then receive the support by clearly articulating what we need. So my hope and what I know will be happening is whether it be the use of, you know, open source technologies, different ways of thinking, systems thinking, thought processes, critically analyzing, you name it, I know that communities are going to be more resilient by the fact that we are innovating. So I'm really excited to see how the agency and how others can support those efforts.
Thank you so much for being with us. Desiree Patel Anderson, the Chief Innovation Advisor at FEMA. So good for you to be with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Colonel, and thanks again for this opportunity.
Well, there's an important energy conference coming by again. I have to tell you about this. Seeking solutions for energy, like always, it's a big deal. I mean, President Obama's put a new emphasis on it now with the EPA, and top minds in energy are asked to come forward in a sweeping call for papers. This is organizers. It's the sixth annual Technologies Conference, the Green Tech 2014, produced by Section 5 of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, and they've announced their call for submissions in dynamic energy solutions, and I know that you might be able to help or know somebody that can. Their theme is Sow the Seeds of the Future, S-O-W, the Seeds of the Future. Sow, they say, is an acronym for solar, ocean, and wind. And the conference is going to be held the 3rd and 4th of April of next year in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's going to be lots of fun. Love Corpus Christi. This is an important conference, and it's traveled from various energy spots over the years. It started out in West Texas and then moved to the business interest of Dallas-Fort Worth and then to Baton Rouge, which was really in a situation because of the BP oil spill. So there was a lot of emphasis on that at that year. That happened right after the oil spill. And then Tulsa. And more recently, it has been highly received in Denver this past spring. So all the accumulated skills and information are now coming together in Corpus Christi. Dynamic setting for it right on the Gulf Coast. April 3rd and 4th, 2014, at the Omni Corpus Christi Hotel. We're going to have correspondents there covering all the action. And if you want to submit, they're looking for original unpublished papers on green technology. The theme is green technology deployed in marine and coastal environments. But all original unpublished papers on green technology, renewable energy, was going to be considered. They're kind of interested mainly in green energy generation and storage, green energy transmission and distribution, the smart grid. We've been covering that in this program. Biomass, that too, biofuel is green energy. Green buildings, that's been a very interesting topic on this program. Green energy policies, management and control, well, with the new EPA rules, I guess that's becoming quite interesting. And, of course, how green energy is being taught in our universities. So if you want to submit, deadline for submission is September 1, and you can find all the information you want at the conference website, which is IEEEGreenTech.org. That's IEEE GreenTech, GreenTech.org. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to the this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Everybody hears all sorts of gloom and doom messages. Billions of people don't have this, that, and the other thing. And so my challenge to everybody is if you don't stand up and do one thing, that will never change. So remember that everybody's actions counts towards the end, and don't give up your hands and side that the problem can't change. Pick something up and do something about it. It's Kathy Leslie. I'm the Executive Director of Engineers Without Borders USA.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.